Well, good morning, everyone. Yesterday, Jordan took us on another step of this journey on the road to redemption. He walked us through Jesus' confrontation with the Jewish leaders in the temple. And in the rest of Luke 20, the confrontation with these leaders continues. The tension increases. And now we're into Luke 21. We're with Jesus in his final days. He's around the temple. In our passage, Luke 21 through 24, Jesus makes some observations about those giving money in the temple. First, in verse 1, Jesus sees the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. Similar to today, the rich in Jesus' day held a lot of power, security, and ease. So it's not surprising that the rich would be putting regular and probably large gifts into the offering box. But then look at this, verse 2. In contrast to the rich and their gifts, there's also this poor widow. Widows in Jesus' day were the most vulnerable in society, usually completely destitute, impoverished, and ready to be taken advantage of, with little means for income or protection. In other words, like a bug ready to be crushed by the boot of the religious leaders. And this is exactly what Jesus condemns them for in the passage right before this. And this poor widow, she puts in just two lepta, two copper coins, into the offering box. That would be worth about 1/64th of a day's wage at the time. Today, we might imagine someone struggling to make ends meet, walking over to the offering box and dropping in $2. You can't even buy a McDonald's cheeseburger for that anymore. Shouldn't they use that on themselves if they're so desperate? We might be tempted to think, like those at the time probably would have, man, is it even worth your time to go over there and put it in? Our budget is over $3 million. What difference does that amount really make to this large budget? It's like a drop in the ocean. Our evaluation would, understandably, be that the rich are offering a greater sum. That's how the world sees things. In the business world, in the nonprofit world, and even in the church world, we tend to go after the big donors, the high earners. We see people for the quantity that they can offer us, but not so with Jesus. First, Jesus has made an observation. Now comes his evaluation. Jesus says in verse 3, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them." Surprise! The religious leaders are condemned, at least in the last chapter, and the hefty gifts of the rich are passed over, and the widow gives more than all the others. Now, I'm no mathematician or engineer, but which is greater, multiple gifts from rich people or $2? Does Jesus need to go to Wichita State and get a math degree? No, Jesus isn't ignorant, but he is measuring by different standard, a standard that cuts through exterior numbers and gets to the heart. He gives us the reason for this evaluation in verse 4. For they, the rich, all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. See, Jesus isn't just measuring their contribution based on total dollars, but its cost to each person. It's the percentage of their life given up to God's services. Jesus is evaluating the rich and the widow based on how devoted their heart is to God. It's not about how much extra they give, but how much they sacrificed of their own livelihood. So Jesus' evaluation shows us that true sacrifice to God is not about how big a check we write or how many religious services we attend. Those are good things. But what really matters is the heart, and the heart that Jesus is after, the one that he desires to form in each of his followers, is one that is fully and completely devoted to him. True devotion is a percentage, not a specific number of dollars or hours. It's about how much it costs you. Not the price tag, but what you give up in order to have it. So what does this mean for us? Now, we might be tempted to take this message and try to do it on our own, to take matters into our own hands and bring about this level of devotion. But this passage, like the whole Bible, points us to Christ. Christ is the one who laid aside his heavenly right to rule. He is the one who took on the form of a human for our sake. He is tempted in the wilderness, fasting and resisting to succeed where we have failed. He is the one who traveled around with no place to lay his head, to make disciples in the kingdom, and to preach the gospel. But most importantly, as we'll see this Friday, Good Friday, he is the one who would give up his own life as a sacrifice for his people. Jesus holds nothing back. He is the model of true devotion. He not only gives up all he had to live on, but he gives up his own life in following God's will. He gives up himself for our sins. If true devotion is a percentage, Jesus gave 100%. But in doing so, he also paved the way for us to follow his example. We not only have forgiveness of sins through Christ, but in him his followers grow. God is the one who works in our hearts to follow Jesus and give 100%. How are we to respond to this? We must recognize that, like the widow, and like Jesus, we are called to follow with true and complete devotion. Earlier in Luke 9:23-24, Jesus tells the people, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Friends, on one level, this should be encouraging to us. God doesn't expect us to create something we don't already have in order to have something to offer him. All that we have is already a gift. We can only give our $2 because Jesus has given them to us to begin with. God is pleased with a small but devoted and faithful offering, more than he is with religious show and a loaded bank account. But on another level, this is a real challenge. We're expected to give 100% of what we do have. This isn't just giving money to the church, but the sacrifice of our very lives, our desires, our freedom, our resources, our status. These we nail to the cross as we follow Christ. So let us surrender all to him. Let us take up our cross and follow his example by his grace alone. Let us lay aside every other pursuit and place our 2 coins at his feet, however meager they may be. And as we continue on this road to redemption, today, leading up to this holy weekend, the question I want us to ponder throughout is this. What are you holding back from God? What are the meager coins that you cling to? And what would it look like for you to let them go and by God's grace and power cling to the cross instead? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for his willingness to give up his life to atone for our sins. His sacrifice has brought our healing. We are so grateful for that. Lord, help us now by your power and your spirit to follow his example. Enable us, strengthen us to be able to do it, all for your glory and for your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.